Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We're celebrating this week, Independence Week, and we're talking about how awesome, you know, it is to live in this great country, America, and what, you know, we're joking around earlier in the first hour about Steve being a Marine, but in all seriousness, I mean, we are honored about Steve's service and all of those brave and men and women in the armed forces that defend freedom and defend our Constitution. And it's awesome to see what God has done throughout the years with America. But you'll be surprised, or maybe you may not be surprised to know, oftentimes it's the great revivals and what God has done amongst the Christians in this country. Oftentimes that's been, you know, in the news, you're not going to hear about that. That's been pulled away. But let me tell you that, you know, this country was founded for, you know, Christian Judeo principles. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right. And we must not separate that or forget that. Mm-hmm. Talking about the original intent of the church, CBN does a fantastic segment. We're going to listen to this about American revivals and their impact on shaping U.S. history.
Well, we're all getting ready for Independence Day, and as we celebrate the 4th of July, we'll hear stories about the Founding Fathers. One aspect that's often overlooked is the key role that Christianity played in American history. As Paul Strand reports, a massive revival in the 1700s left a radical mark on the birth of our nation.
America's Revolutionary Fathers weren't just nominal Christians. They were profoundly influenced by the New World's first revival, the Great Awakening. Reverend Eddie Hyatt tells how it hit from the 1720s to 60s in his book, America's Revival Heritage. Colonial pastor Jonathan Edwards, known to pray and study his Bible 13 hours a day, watched radical revival take over his hometown in Massachusetts.
The way he describes it is just like one day God invaded the town of Northampton. The town seemed to be full of the presence of God.
The bars emptied out and Christians' homes filled with people anxious to be saved and know God.
He said if you came across someone who seemed spiritually indifferent, it would be spoken of as a strange thing.
Then the powerful English preacher George Whitefield brought his fiery sermons to America. Scorned by the established church, he preached salvation to huge multitudes outdoors. Crowds from 10,000 to as many as 30,000 showed up.
Entire towns repenting and turning to God.
Whitefield stayed at Benjamin Franklin's home while preaching in Philadelphia, and Franklin wrote of the revival's impact.
From being thoughtless or indifferent about religion, it seemed as if all the world were growing religious so that one could not walk through the town in an evening without hearing psalms sung in different families of every street.
Whitefield lifted up a special prayer for the colonies that would make a huge difference in their revolution and future together.
They would not live as 13 scattered colonies, but as one nation under God.
And indeed, the Great Awakening became the first national event the scattered colonies experienced as one. It unified them unlike any time before, just in time to face the mighty British Empire in war. The revival also shaped the Founding Fathers' core vision for America, that God sets men free. It's their natural right to have liberty, and each is made to rule with Christ. Its influence is all over their Declaration of Independence, U.S. Constitution, and Bill of Rights. As he studied the founders, Hyatt found example after example of how deeply this awakening influenced them and their Christian values. Take Thomas Jefferson, for instance.
He signed all presidential documents in the year of our Lord Christ.
He sent Christian missionaries to one Indian tribe and gave them federal funds to build a church. He also attended Sunday services held in the House of Representatives. Some scholars even doubt the first president's faith, but a Quaker named Isaac Potts, living near Valley Forge, saw George Washington's faith up close during that cruel winter that almost froze his colonial army to death during the Revolution.
He said, "I tied my horse to a sapling and went quietly into the woods, and to my astonishment, I saw the great George Washington on his knees alone. He was at prayer to the God of the armies of heaven, beseeching him
The anti-war Quaker Potts later wrote,
and he says, "Such a prayer I never heard from the lips of man. We never thought a man could be a soldier and a Christian. But if there is one in the world, it is Washington."
At the Constitutional Convention in 1787, the delegates fought and bickered so bitterly, the convention almost broke up. But then Ben Franklin stood and began to preach.
He says, "The longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid?"
Then Franklin beseeched them to pray together at the start of every day. After that, an atmosphere of peace and reconciliation came upon the founders.
And they were able to proceed and to finish their job of hammering out the American Constitution and Bill of Rights, and in a context of prayer.
60 years after it began, the Great Awakening still influenced the Founding Fathers and continues to benefit our country today. Paul Strand, CBN News.
That's awesome.
That's powerful.
That is awesome. Mm. I mean, think about it. The Founding Fathers. The Founding Fathers. This is so important because we're missing out on our heritage and understanding what had happened. Mm. But you're looking at the first national event that brought the 13 colonies together was the first Great Awakening.
Mm-hmm.
It was the first Great Awakening. And you hear, you know, awesome leaders like Benjamin Franklin, who used to hang out with George Whitefield.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, Benjamin Franklin was awesome man.
Mm-hmm.
He's a great statesman. I mean, he wasn't a president, but let me tell you something. We honor him on the $100 bill, you know,
right.
At the Franklins. And
that's right.
Think about it. And he was greatly influenced by his ministry. And it's somebody was quoting, CBN is sharing this, that one of the Quakers was quoted as saying that the people would be, this was their goal and their vision, that the people would be self-governing from within by the love of God and by an inner moral compass that was guided by the New Testament. The more that they would be governed from within, the less outward government they would need.
Mm.
I mean, how true is that today?
Yeah.
I mean, listen, a government and a people that don't have God at the forefront, you need all these laws. You need laws mm-hmm. to control men. If
mm-hmm.
if they don't have any moral compass on the inside to say, listen,
right.
we need to do right, not because of I may go to jail.
Mm-hmm.
I need to do right because I want to do what's right before
right.
God.
Amen. And there's evidence of that because all the laws that's been created since the beginning. I mean, there's just creating more and more and more
yeah.
laws because people don't have any governing values anymore.
Yeah.
They've totally discounted the word of God.
And
so man has to keep creating these laws.
Amen.
To try and curb people's behavior. It ain't working.
Catch a clue. We have more prisons all over the place. You would think that, oh, if we just create more laws, we can control behavior, but it doesn't happen.
Right.
Behavior modification, you can't control someone to conform. You can
yeah.
get them while their eyes are on you to do what's right.
Mm-hmm.
But what is more powerful is to have God on the inside mm-hmm. of them.
Exactly.
And with that being said, it's like you can't create a law in order to try to change the heart. It's just like you have to allow God to come in and change your heart, and you put God's laws, which is going to supersede, and you're going to look to God first.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you're going to have that humility. You're going to have that obedience in the land.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they said that at the Constitutional Convention in 1787, the delegates fought and bickered so bitterly at the convention that they say they almost broke up. And Ben Franklin stood up and began to preach.
Mm-hmm.
It's Ben Franklin now. And he's quoted as saying here in this article from CBN, "The longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men."
Mm-hmm.
And the aging founding father reportedly said, "And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice," and the word of God says, out of his will,
mm-hmm.
It is probable that an empire can rise without his aid.
Yeah.
Think about that. You know, we had in this country a founding where God was at the center.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at the greatness of America and how it was birthed and just from the beginning.
Through that struggle, right.
Yeah. And now you see it now and it's like, wait a minute, have we lost some of the glory that God has put
mm-hmm.
on America? And you would dare say that there's something that happened in definitely in the 60s that went all the way through the 70s, and it's almost like it has never reversed back. I mean, we have had a moment in time where there have been outpourings. So let me tell you, there's nothing like an outpouring. There's nothing like a move of God. You can talk about it. You can hear testimonies like it. But let me tell you, there's nothing like experiencing the glory and the power of God. And when you're talking about a revival, I mean, we have been a part of an outpouring that every single day, I mean, every single day, people would line up. I mean, when have you ever heard people line up for 12, 13 hours? And I've seen this with my own eyes, just to be able to be a part of a revival that was going to happen at 7 o'clock that night. But they were there first thing in the morning in the hot sun. And we've seen them come from droves all over the world, delegations of them, and to be touched by the glory and the power of God. Listen, it could only be God that'll keep people coming back night after night after night after night after night. And you saw people that were changed. I know so many people of their testimonies of what God brought them out of. And let me tell you, the only hope for America, the only hope for America is another great revival, an awakening that really shakes the world. I didn't know this, but apparently there was a great move of God, a revival hit right after the Civil War that really helped to bring the country back. Mm-hmm. And you see the country so fragmented right now, and Pat, what you were saying earlier, so important because, we've just tried to put all these laws on the books to try to get people to act right.
And the scriptures say the power of sin is the law. The more law you put on somebody, the more you're going to be driven to sin. The more you tell me I can't do something, if I don't know God, the more I'm going to want to do it.
Exactly.
Like you tell the kid, keep your hand out of the cookie jar. Well, what's that kid going to do?
He's going to put on the cookie jar.
He's going to go right for it. Because there's something inside him called his sin nature that wants to do the very thing that you're not supposed to do.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it's driving him to it.
That's exactly it.
I think about that time of our nation when they were so divided. But at the same time, too, you had those leaders that stepped up to George Whitefield, to Jonathan Edwards, and they would send out in their cities and in their specific areas of influence and preach the gospel with boldness. Whole cities were repenting. Whole cities were giving their lives to the Lord. And what is powerful, I think, about that is just during that time when they were, when the government came together and they were divided. And you think about it, we've talked about it before. We had a recent election a few years ago, and it was just such a close race. Mm-hmm. You know, parties aside, Democratic, Republican, but it's just like we were a nation divided. And it's just like God loves the nations. God loves the cities. And it's just like whole cities can come to God.
Nations can be won in a day.
Amen.
And that's what we're believing for. We're believing and praying for a great awakening that sweeps across this country, America, and the world. I mean, look what's happening. We're seeing what's happening with abortion. Listen, these laws have been on the books since 1973. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing a ripple that's happening across the states. And the states are different from the federal government. Remember, we've been talking about that on the Constitution, that how the states, they came together and gave some of their power to the federal government, but the federal government didn't create the states. The states are the ones that created the federal government. Mm-hmm. And what you're looking at are states, individual states that are saying, listen, for us here in Florida, as for us here in Ohio, as for us here in Texas, as for us here in Wisconsin and Mississippi and Arkansas, say, wait a minute, Alabama, we got to get on board here. Mm-hmm. And there's a wave happening. Join with us. Yeah. Listen, join with us. I mean, begin to believe again. Don't stay for the status quo, but believe again that God can move powerfully, that souls can be won. People that right now are, you would never believe in a million years, could turn their hearts. Let me tell you, I've seen some of them. I was one of them.
Amen.
And they'll be used not only to be, you know, they'll not only be given their life to the Lord, but God will use them in the kingdom. Amen. He'll use them. And so this is the hour not to shrink back, as you were talking about, Steve, not to get comfortable and say, okay, well, things are happening. Mm. This is the time to press in and pray for the complete prayer. Amen. Yes, God is ending abortion, but also, Lord Jesus, please send revival.
Amen.
Send revival. And we not only need a revival, but we need a great awakening. Mm. The revival touches areas and pockets and groups, maybe cities. But an awakening touches a nation.
Amen.
And what we need is this nation to be awakened to God. listen, it's happening. We're coming close. When you see rumors of wars and wars, when you see things that are happening in the weather, floods, waters, fires, when you see animals eating houses like the snails in South Florida, when you see locusts in Egypt, when you see people being swallowed up under the ground, not in just one area, one state. They try to say, so that's the thing, they try to say it was just in Florida, and then until it happened somewhere up north. Catch a clue.
Yeah, that's right.
Catch a clue. And it's time for us to take notice of this and say, listen, let's do an evaluation on our own personal life. Where am I with you?
Amen.
Because before you can win a nation, you got to dial it back and start with the man, with the woman who is willing to look in the mirror and say, God, am I content? Am I content with where I'm at with you? And you know where you're at. And the greatest question you would ask yourself today is, if today was your last day, if today you took your last breath, the question is for you, would you have any regrets? Would you have done anything differently? Would you be eagerly anticipating seeing Jesus? Or would you be gripped with fear? Let me tell you, friend, as long as you're still alive and you have, you know, breath in your lungs and blood is still flowing through your veins, you can make the right decision to choose God. Many people today, let me tell you, many people today know of God in America. They believe, you know, that there is a God and they believe of Jesus Christ, but they don't know him. And let me tell you, it's not enough to know of him and about him and to say, yeah, that's true. That's the right way. I believe in that. Jesus, Christianity, you know, he died for my sins. Listen, don't just be content with a familiarity, because a familiarity is not going to get you into heaven. What's going to get you into heaven is the fact that you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and you said, I'm going to make him Lord. I'm going to make him boss. Let me tell you, there's never been a finer day than today to make that decision. Don't waste a moment. Accept him into your heart. And be a part of the great awakening that's going to sweep across this country and around the world. Listen, if my people, 2 Chronicles 7:14 tells us, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I what? Hear from heaven? Hear their land? Listen, God will respond to us. He will respond to us, but we have to go after him. The Word of God says that if you draw close to God, he will draw close to you. And oftentimes, I've heard it said that your first step determines God's second step. And you got to take a step out. You've got to step out and go after God. And if you want God to take you to a place that you've never been, you've got to be willing to do something you've never done. You got to get out of the status quo. You got to get out of the place of religion. You got to get out of the place of going through the motions without having a genuine and authentic encounter. I mean, there's nothing like, I mean, people can pray for us and we can ask someone to pray and you know, stand with us. But let me tell you something, there's nothing more powerful for you to have the confidence and the assurance of knowing that not only you know God, but that he knows you and that he hears your prayers. And there's nothing like communing with him, because when you're his friend, you don't have to, you know, knock on the door and, you know, there are some things, some, you know, closeness and intimacy affords us. I often say that you can't get much closer than his lap. You know, if you're a child of God, you're right there. Reach out to him. And believe that God can do a powerful thing in your life. Listen, the minute you become satisfied, the minute you become satisfied with God, satisfied with your relationship, satisfied with your family and your marriage and your kids, and you become, listen, it's over. You should have spiritual unsatisfaction, if you will. Unsatisfaction for your place, because you want to be more. More what? More hungry, more on fire, more passionate, more obedient. Because you only have just a little vapor in life here. You only have just a little bit. And you want to make sure that you're giving God everything and that you are taking advantage to go after him. Because let me tell you something. You don't know how much time you have left.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the daily VFN radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.